Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life.
And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Ma.
I'm Yujiro. Yeah.
Cool. I saw the new remake of Little Red Riding Hood just last night.
What's it called? Riding Hood or Red Hood?
Red Riding Hood. I think it's Red Riding Hood.
Hood Riding Red?
Well, here it was called Akazukincha, so, yeah. But yeah, it was pretty good. Afterwards, I enjoyed it. Didn't blow my mind or anything, but, it was good.
Was it afterwards I enjoyed it? When I reflected upon it, yeah.
It was like, when it was done, well, I thought, you know what?
Yeah. When it was done and it's time to think, did I enjoy this or not? I thought, yeah, I enjoyed it.
How did I feel about the previous 90 minutes?
Recommend it?
Who's in that? I can't remember her name. She's a fairly new actress. She's been in a lot of things recently, but I don't remember.
She's bigger than a bread box.
Yes. She has enormous eyes.
Is it Amanda Seyfried?
That's the name, yeah, Amanda
Seyfried. Jennifer's Body.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it.
Is it a retelling of the Red Riding Hood story? I don't want to say is it, like, faithful, because it's a very short fairy tale.
Right.
Yes, on both counts. It is a retelling of it, and it is rather faithful to the original. And that it has the main tropes, you know, like the grandmother, what big eyes you have. Don't worry, that's not a spoiler.
Somebody hasn't read Red Riding Hood.
Well, okay. Sorry. It's a few hundred-year-old tale you should check out first. But, the special effects are really good. The werewolf in it.
Oh, spoiler.
No, not a spoiler. They say the opening scene is our town has a werewolf problem.
Yeah, well, if you hadn't seen the movie and then someone tells you, then it's a spoiler.
No, it's not. If it's like, in the first few minutes, it's not a spoiler.
Gary Oldman walks out and says, I hear you have a werewolf problem. Right, it's not a secret.
Called premise.
Okay. I'm just saying, it's a premise you wouldn't have known unless you watched the movie.
Okay, this is a spoiler if you don't plan to watch the movie, yes. Anyway.
Glad we settled that point.
What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the
spoilers.
The werewolf CG is really well done. They don't have it kind of like the humanoid werewolf. It's just an enormous wolf, but they have it move around really realistically. And Gary Oldman plays a crazy guy as usual.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Yeah, the twist at the end is pretty good.
Oh, cool. And well, there's a twist.
To describe the twist.
Yeah. All right. So you'd recommend it?
Yeah, I would. I would.
All right, cool.
Even after all the spoilers.
No, I feel like I've already seen it. Ooh, well, I'm thinking what the twist could be. No, well, should I say it? What
no,
I think it is?
No.
No. Okay. All right.
Let's keep it to yourself.
I'll put it on the forums.
And I'll be the only one who sees it. So this is more incentive for me to watch the movie first before you put it up.
All right. So we're moving on to the campaign, which was for those that listened to the episodes on Dungeons & Dragons 4E.
Right.
It's a continuation of the Marius Chronicles campaign.
Just in Savage World, not 4E.
Right. That was the change. Hmm. Chris, do you want to give us a little setup on what it was?
Okay. It was intended to be a continuation of the last game, but everybody changed their character. But I kept the same world. And I wanted to expand more on the story at the end. And it was that kind of a D&D world, but with Savage Worlds as a system. Fun and adventure for all, or so I had hoped. The game is also now dead because it didn't turn out to be fun for all. So,
I guess, like you said, fun for all, or so you had hoped. So, I guess it kind of ended up being sort of not fun, so... All right, maybe I'm going to start that one over.
Oh,
sorry.
Man.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
I was just trying to figure out where to go from that.
Well, it's certainly not that it wasn't fun, but it was planned as a campaign, and it only went a few sessions.
Right.
So we can't call it a success, or a successful campaign in that.
It wasn't
a campaign.
Right.
All right.
It was a couple of games turned together.
Hmm. Yeah, so what we like to do is talk about what worked and what didn't work and what led to it being canceled. And it was canceled by Chris,
yes,
the game master. It wasn't that he showed up to a session and there's no one around to.
Oh, man. Guys.
And about an hour into that no one showed up session, Chris decided to cancel. No, joke.
Well, hopefully people will learn from these.
Yeah. And I do a small correction. I actually was the one player who continued with the D&D character. And I think before we get into your actual campaign, but this links into the system. So I had to convert my D&D 4E character who was almost Paragon. So he was level 8 or 9.
Right.
And I had been very much looking forward to becoming a Paragon character. And I had even had my, from maybe level 1, I had my Paragon path picked out.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to do that.
So you just got punched in the gut.
And the power level that Chris had decided to start Savage World at, I just couldn't convert the character over. And when you play a level system, there's a lot of stuff, you know, under the hood or built in. When you have a point buy, everything's kind of brought up and thrown on the table and you assemble it yourself. But there were a lot of like little powers and racial powers and class powers that then you have to build with the points, and I just couldn't do it. So even though Chris was kind of generous and gave me a couple extra advancements, I still couldn't replicate the character. So that was a little frustrating and maybe led me to think that Savage World was a worse system than maybe it would have been otherwise if I had just gone in cold and made a completely different character.
Right.
Yeah. And the reason why I didn't change my character is because I like the character. Chris was hoping to use that as a link. My guy's name was Marius, so that's the Marius Chronicles would become the Chronicles.
You were the only character that didn't change.
Yeah.
Change over.
So what are some of the lessons we could learn, Kaya?
I guess the big one is don't let your players build the characters separately.
No.
Build them as a group. And apparently people disagree with me.
Well,
yeah, guys, on a podcast, when you disagree silently and do the disagree face, doesn't work.
Your face. I was thinking about what to say.
I disagree. Just a moment.
I disagree. Go ahead, Yuji.
It's all right.
Yeah, I like you say that, Wayne, as kind of a piece of advice to be followed. I wouldn't say that's necessarily always a good idea. Sometimes it may help to build the characters separately, depending on what kind of a campaign you want to run. In this case, because we were trying to build an adventuring group that would run off and have fun together, it would have been better to build them together. There weren't going to be big secrets between everybody. So it would have been better to do that instead of building them separately as we did.
Out of curiosity, what type of game do you see that not being a problem? Because I can't think of any. I think no matter what kind of game or campaign you're running, I think every game would benefit from building the characters as a group.
Vampire?
Any game where there's going to be some mystery and intrigue between the different characters.
Let me rephrase that. I'm not saying that everybody has to see everybody's character sheets as they fill it out step by step.
So then what do you mean by building
what
together?
I mean
the concept?
Is, yeah, everybody should be aware of the other player's concept, and that way, right from the beginning, people are figuring out how this party is going to work together. Because I think no matter what type of game you're running, even Vampire, and we started that a little bit differently, but the party has to stay together. Otherwise, why are the players going to show up week after week to play if their characters aren't going to get along? Or at least work together.
Right. Maybe because it's fun. In Vampire, none of our characters got along.
No, but we were put in, I guess it's a little
there's
bit
a good in-game rationale for us being together, which is perhaps what my game lacked.
Vampire, there was a real big difference in that there was only two players to start. So it's a lot easier to work two players in together than four players. And the story was actually built on the relationship between those two players. Like whatever you were going to do, you were put together and then the story went. Whereas if you have just an overarching story, you definitely need to design it as a group. I'd like to use another example of what we're doing now and Eclipse Phase.
Okay.
Sorry, Wayne, I think you're having us do our characters separately and I think that's a mistake.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd like to come back to group design, right. But or I'd like to add something as we talk about group design, and that is the yes, no.
Right.
The all yes game master versus the all no game master.
Of which we have examples.
And the two examples I'm going to use, I think, Chris, you're very much an all... You really try to accommodate the players, so your first instinct is to say yes.
And Wayne, you're just a big old jerkhead.
And yeah, Wayne, you're the...
I'm just going to go with mini bucket rather than
mini
jerkhead.
Mini bucket
but
works as well.
But I think we have two examples with the Savage Worlds fantasy game and the Eclipse Phase where the parties are being developed in isolation.
Right.
In your case, Chris, everybody said, you said yes to everybody's concepts, even though the concepts might not have worked well together. And we'll get into specifics for the listeners in just a moment. And Wayne, you're kind of like, you're stopping that with all your no's, but I can see that being frustrating,
yes.
For people. So what if we had all like sat around in the table in Eclipse Phase, and it's you're very much playing up the corporate aspect of
right.
Eclipse Phase. So if people can imagine who are not familiar with the setting, it is transhuman, and Wayne is playing up kind of the ruthless corporate, perhaps dystopia. I don't know.
Yeah.
So when he mentioned that to me, I just thought the
Paul Reiser from Aliens.
Yeah, Paul Reiser from Aliens.
So did Chris.
With a little bit of Lenny from Strange Days, mm-hmm. or the Ralph Fiennes character from Strange Days. Basically a salesperson in an SF setting. And Chris is not going so corporate with maybe some of his concepts. But if we were designing that as a group, and Yujiro is going to be joining us as
right.
well in Eclipse Phase, then it kind of puts a little bit of the onus on the players to kind of say no, or to say yes, or to try to make it work if somebody has a good idea. And it's like, no, I can work with that. I can make this change to my character. But in the case of, I don't know what your concepts are, but let's say you do like a very anti-corporate character, Chris, and I could say, well, I'm a suit. You know, I'm a corporate suit, so why is my guy hanging out with you? And then it kind of gets into, is your character concept a challenge to the other players? Like, sorry, I can't figure out why I'd be hanging out with you. Like,
right.
we're on a business trip and you're an anarchist terrorist. Sorry, that's an extreme example. So do I know you're an anarch? But if I know that, then why am I letting you on the business trip when you can conceivably screw up? I'm there to sell a product and you're there to plant a bomb. it's an
yeah.
extreme example. I don't know Chris's concepts. But I just know that...
Bomb planter.
Bomb planter.
Well, that was bomb maker. Come on,
bomb
man.
Bomb maker.
No, just kidding.
I'm making it in the basement of the building. Yeah.
I think that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. And then if we look at some of the concepts that were coming up with Savage Worlds, I had, because of my frustration in trying to convert my D&D character over, I really just wanted to change the character, but then I thought, well, I'll do it. And Crystal said, okay, allowed me to kind of take on a secret identity. I wasn't going to backstab the party or anything. It was just my character got frustrated with being who he was and took on this mantle where he can hide who he is and be somebody else, hide from the fame, if you will. But then that was designed with the idea that everybody else was changing their characters, and Yujiro changed his character but to one of the NPCs from the previous game or the previous campaign, so therefore would know my character.
Right.
So that was a challenge. And then Wayne had designed a character who was a university student who didn't want to adventure.
Pretty much.
So he's not really going to work well with adventuring characters. And Tom had designed a character who was a 2,000-year-old crystal construct who was going to be it's going to be unique to the world, so very different. And I think certain questions could have come up as we talked about that. Like, I wanted my secret to be, it wasn't really for the game, it was for you guys to surprise you. Hey, I'm actually playing the same character. Oh, well done, Lyle. Yeah.
Bravo.
Probably would have gotten no reaction. So maybe that's not a good example, but if I had known, you know, Yujiro was playing the other NPC
right.
earlier, then it'd be like, well, how's that going to work? Am I going to keep a secret from somebody I have a positive relationship with?
Yeah.
It seemed that your character was also supposed to uncover what my true identity was. So then it was like, was that ever going to work? You know, was my secret ever going to work in this situation? With Tom's character, we could have said, at one point there was a suggestion, well, if he's so unique, we'd have to put him in a box or something to hide him all the time.
Yeah.
So the question could have come up. oh, so do you expect us to deal with your differences every time? I don't want to, maybe if we didn't want to do it, it's like, yeah, I'm not too keen on doing that. Can you play something more normal? Oh, you want to play something different? Okay, how do you, what's going to be different? And then talk that out. And then maybe we could incorporate. It's like, oh, okay, maybe I'll add some sort of archaeological thing to my character.
Right.
So I wouldn't want to let this crystal treasure out of my sight.
Yeah, and it probably would have made a more adventuresome character.
Yeah, it's
or
like,
at least someone could have said, hold on, that's probably not going to work for what we're doing.
Yeah.
I would have said, oh, okay, let me swap some stuff around.
Because I ended up asking Wayne some questions once the game started, and it was like, what do you expect me to do? You keep saying you don't want adventure because you've designed this person who just wants to be a university student, not an adventure. I said, we're not going to grab you and tie you to the horse and drag you along the adventure. We're going to say,
See ya,
and you won't come along. And you don't want to be a jerk because you don't want to ruin somebody's adventure. But then you're also trying to figure out, why would I? What am I supposed to do with Wayne's character? And maybe that could have come up in a little round table before the game started. Right. And Wayne's like, well, I see myself as a more of a social person. And it's like, well, this seems more like a travel log game to me. So,
Yeah, well put. I don't disagree.
God, apologies for the monologue. So yes, GMs, no GMs. I think that's hard because it's hard to be strike the perfect balance. But I think all the players at the table talking about what they want to be or what they could be. And with Yujiro, I see his point about Vampire 100%.
Right.
Is a game like that does lend itself to more mystery in that. So try.
But that said, there's no reason that you can't build the characters together and then go to the GM either before or afterwards with something you plan to be in the background.
I think that's what I meant when I said you don't have to go through all the steps so that everybody sees your character sheet right there, right? Just so long as you have, like, what would called in Fate, like, the high concept. Okay, this is what my guy is. This is the way I kind of see playing him. And then everyone's like, okay, I see how that I could have a connection there. And then you don't have to write everything. Then in the background, you know, you can say, okay, and I'm adding a little, doesn't even have to be a secret, but these little elements here, and the other players don't have to know about them. But because we've kind of come up with this high concept, then everybody thinks that will work. The party will stay together, barring some huge disaster.
Yeah.
You know, or barring me say, oh, and by the way, I am really a serial murderer.
Like, people can, as you guys are saying, they can go to the game master afterwards and say, actually, I want to backstab the party. And we go to the Eclipse Phase example, and it's, you know, I sit there I'm a corporate suit. You know, Chris, Chris and Yujiro, you can't play these crazy characters. You got to get on board, and you're like, all right, so we'll do these. And then they do these corporate things, and then they can turn around and to Wayne and say, no, we're going to still bomb the building. But they've made it where then my character is not going to instantly
say, whoa,
at the very beginning,
nice
is like, who are you guys? But they've got to play it. Well, I'm playing a
stick of dynamite in your pocket. Happy to see me.
Yeah. They're going to play the secret.
Yeah.
Or they're kind of going to play ball at the beginning because that's what they would have to do in that game.
Okay, so then what do you think about actually starting the group together? Should they be separate and meet up, like the whole Eurowall meet in a tavern? Or should it be where the group starts as a single unit? And the reason I ask is because the way I had it set up was that you guys would all start out separately, and then in meeting each other, you would gain some reason to be together as a group, which I was planning on feeding to you. But so there wasn't that much internal motivation, I admit. But
this is going to sound wishy-washy, but I think it depends on what the focus of the story is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think what happened in the Savage Worlds game is, Chris, you envisioned that these four disparate characters would come together, kind of, you know, tied together with a common cause. And
should
then
I give the setup of what it was?
Yes, please.
Cool. So the basic idea was, with everyone's original characters before they changed, Lyle was playing an Eladrin fighter, like an elvish kind of race, if you're unfamiliar. Yujiro was playing a researcher for the God of Knowledge. Wayne was playing a half... You remember the first one? Was it Priest of Io? Or Yeah. The first one was, concept? Remember, like, finding and liberating secret knowledge?
Oh, we're debating content?
Way back when? No one ever even became...
That's what you had when I started planning the campaign.
Ew.
Tom had the 20,000-year-old crystal man. That one never actually changed. And Wayne had kind of like a
human-raised Goliath.
Yeah, like a Dances with Wolves kind of character, raised among these primitive tribes in the mountains. And then, so the original idea was that the Eladrin fighter is friends with all the people in the city, so he would be sent to the mountains to investigate some strange occurrence. Yujiro's character, being a researcher of knowledge, would of course go along for that, and Wayne's character, being with the tribes in the mountains, was going to act as their guide. And when they all arrived there, they would find Tom's character in a cave, and they would experience a vision together. And the vision was supposed to be kind of the glue. I wanted to make the vision big enough and like world-threateningly enough that everyone would say, "Holy cow, we should definitely go for this." But that kind of didn't work. So,
One of the problems with the motivation, and I think we gave Chris a real hard time, and perhaps unfairly, and that we kept saying, "Well, why are we together? Why are we together?" And I think part of the problem was, and this may sound really small, is we went from a city, the main city, it was called Longblade's Peak, and we went to this cave, and we discovered Tom's Crystal Man. Then we went back to the city after we got these visions of doom, like a coming apocalypse. So we go back to the city to drop off Tom's character, which was what the original mission was. And then we were departed on this Visions of Doom, which was the main story. And it seemed odd why Wayne's character and Tom's character would continue with us, since Yujiro and I had the more traditional, all right, there's a problem, we got to go fix it. And you go back to university, Wayne, and Tom, I guess they're going to investigate you because we were just supposed to dissect you. So good luck with that. And I mean, this is 2020 hindsight, but a subtle shift could have been, we don't go back to Longblade's Peak. It becomes so important and so imperative to follow or try to prevent these visions from coming true that we're like, well, what can we do? Let's all go together. You know, we wouldn't have the opportunity of, okay, now we're back to our comfort zone of the city and we'll go our separate ways.
Yeah. Yeah, that or like having us like go start off the quest in a place that's really far away from Longsway's Peak, so we couldn't actually return in time.
And that would have been the thing. Yeah, we're so far away is that, while we can't risk, we don't know when these visions are coming true, we can't risk going back. But not only were we not that far from the city, but the city was actually on our way back to all of these places. Mm-hmm. So we had to go through the city anyway, and we figured, oh, we may as, you know, kind of like, well, it's on my way, so we'll drop off Tom and we'll drop off Wayne and continue on our thing.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, what? We're bringing you with us. And of course, Wayne's like, well, I don't want to adventure. I don't want to do this. And we're like,
fine.
That's fine. And it was really clever. I mean, you had Tom play one character, and then he seemed genuinely pleased to, I think it was a surprise to him how his new character was introduced. And he seemed quite happy with that. So, yeah, that's fine. I can understand that, but,
yeah. Yeah, like, I think the whole idea of the vision, that just didn't go over well. And for a couple of reasons. I didn't communicate it very well. You guys were actually surprised that a part of the vision was a part of the vision and thought that it was kind of just a side thing. And also, just, I had used visions as a plot device in the previous campaign, and it just seemed like that didn't stir people up as much as it had before. And there is good reason for it. The first vision, it included a course of action. Sorry, the vision in the first campaign included a course of action. It wasn't direct do this, but it was hinting at you should try and do this. The second one, it was only precognition. There wasn't any suggestions of which way to go. And that's probably one of the reasons you guys went back to Longblade Peak, because you weren't sure what to do next. So
I think in a larger sense, than what I started to say is, it depends where the focus of the story is. Like, is the focus of the story going to be the characters in the party are coming together and learning to trust each other, and that's the point of the story? Or is the point of the story going to be they're going off on an adventure?
The adventure, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying in general. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But if it's going to be the first one, the people are meeting each other, then they can be kind of, I think, disparate characters. And then, you know, the the whole story is them slowly building up trust, and kind of the end of the story, they're a team now. If you do the other way, then they kind of have to start as a team, mm-hmm. because they have to work together right from the beginning. And I think what happened is we had four disparate characters, and you were hoping we would come together, but I think you essentially kicked us out of the nest too soon. We didn't really have any reason to trust each other or to work together other than the fact that we all had the little icon over our head that said player character, meaning we have to stick together.
Well, that and the vision, but that just didn't work.
But I don't think...
The idea behind it was that there was... You have been shown that the end of the world is coming, so obviously you are special because of that, and the four of you are.
Yeah, but I think what happened is, like, at that point, none of us really trusted each other, or... Potentially, so why would we have told each other about these visions? We would have just seen it as, I had this, something's going to happen. I don't know if any of the other player characters had it, so I don't really see it. So, I think it was trying to do both, and if you just kind of wanted to start us off going together, I think just cut that beginning part out and just kind of similar to starting us really far away where we just have to go. Start us on the boat to point A. Mm-hmm. Because then that, as a player, that says, well, I'm on the boat, which means I'm on board the adventure, mm-hmm. and I'm going. What am I going to do? Jump off and swim back? So.
Get thrown overboard.
Or get thrown overboard, yeah. And I think kind of with any story, the GM kind of has to decide where that focus is going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, are you just going to tell the story of these guys getting together? And if so, do that.
Yeah.
Or are you going to tell the story of after they're a team?
Yeah.
And if so, then almost what happened before doesn't matter. Or can come out later through role-playing sessions.
Oh, this is going to be a bit of a different topic, but I guess the part of the problem I had with the visions was that it wasn't... There weren't very many, like, really real personal hooks, I guess. I didn't feel any sense of, like, personal involvement. It's like, oh, the end of the world, you gotta save it. That's kind of it. Wasn't like, oh, I saw my mentor, like, die during one of those cataclysms or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, it just happens, so what?
Yeah, which is really interesting, because I wouldn't have thought of that. You know, like, I figure, you know, end of the world, your mentor is also going to die, so, like, that wouldn't have occurred to me.
It's kind of one thing to know it, it's another thing to see it very plainly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree at all, but it's just kind of, wow, that's a bit of a surprise.
And the other one is that in the visions, there was no indication that we were playing a role anywhere, I guess, and that kind of made it even more kind of like a distant, like somebody else's problem kind of thing. I mean, we had them, but so what? We are not doing anything in the visions, so that was just kind of the feel I got.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if you had dropped, and again, 2020 hindsight, dropped personal things in each of the visions. So we should say there was maybe six or seven.
There are quite a few, yeah.
Catastrophes that were happening in different locations around the world. And we were able to kind of piece together where these places are.
Right.
Like we could see a vision of a famous Colossus statue toppling, so we knew, oh, that's that city with that. We saw this famous water wheel crumbling, so we could figure, oh, it's this particular city. Right. Yeah, but if we had had our personal, we could see a mentor, a relative, a friend die in these visions in a different one. You could actually see us kind of jostling, perhaps, for position. Like, we'd want our particular place to go be the first on the list.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, we just kind of went, well, I guess we'll just go to the top of the list and then we'll go to number two. And it actually seemed that we were supposed to do that because when we went to the first city, we knew it was coming like the next day.
You're actually wrong about that. But...
Oh, okay.
That's the way it seemed.
So then the impression was, oh, these are all in order and we'll just go one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah.
And I guess maybe we also had too many visions at once. Maybe it should have been more focused on, like...
One at a time or something like that.
Yeah, or two or three.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of give you guys the option to do them in whatever order you wanted to, but I guess, again, in hindsight, it wasn't so good. But I think your suggestion, Lyle, of, like, showing person or mentor that is important to you.
Yujiro's.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Would have been really good because that also would have helped with the interlinking each other. Like Wayne, you said you didn't feel like everyone had shared the vision. Maybe it was just me, but you could ask who are all these other people, and then might be able to find out through that, or not.
Yeah, I suppose. I was going to say, just out of curiosity, if we were kind of allowed to do them in any order, mm-hmm. then I think one of the NPCs said, oh, and you should go here first.
Yes.
And that place happened, like one of the stop points happened to be one of the places in the vision. Mm-hmm. So I kind of see that as you, the Game Master, telling us which one we should do first?
That one, yeah. Sorry, the first one, I did want you to go to that place first. So that's why I had the NPCs say, go to that place first. Mm. But the other ones didn't have any order.
Maybe just then showing that one vision then.
Maybe it would have been better, huh?
Kind of the similar what happened to the flash forward in Vampire. Once, at least me personally, once something gets kind of too big, you kind of like, well, where do you start?
That's true.
It's like this giant knot. I don't even know how to start unraveling it, so I'm not even really going to try. Hmm. But if you give me a series of smaller knots, okay, I can see what I have to do.
I don't know. Maybe having bad stuff happen when we went to that first place might have also been a way to kind of draw us in. We get there and just hell breaks loose kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, that one was on a time limit, so depending on how long you guys had stayed there, it could have, but...
Now, since we are talking about the first one, you did something different to introduce it, Chris. You didn't just tell us what the vision was. You actually had us roleplay some of the characters in the vision.
Yeah. I gave you four children who died in the first vision. So I had you, I guess, roleplay their last day.
Yeah, so people can imagine a disaster movie. Mm-hmm. It would be like the prologue.
Yeah.
Where you see like something happen. It turned out chronologically, it didn't happen in the beginning. What would you guys think about that, playing the kids? So we sat down to start the campaign, and the very first thing we did was...
I passed out. Here you go.
Here you go. Here's children, and you're going to play this little scenario.
I actually didn't... I didn't mind it because I've thought of them... I've thought of doing something similar myself. You know, there are times when I've thought of... Okay, and doing this kind of flashback or flash forward or this little, you know, sidebar thing will get the players interested in what's happening. And then when their characters interact with this thing, they'll kind of have the information and they'll be more inclined to pay attention. But that being said, it's kind of, okay, you sit down for the first session, you got your character already, and no, you're not playing it. You're playing these other people. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of hard. You want that thing to come at the beginning, but...
Actually, I don't think it was bad at all. Because if it had been a whole session or more than one session, that would have been too much. But it's only a couple hours.
Yeah, but still, you do kind of want to sit down and play your character when you first kind of start out. And we could have... Is there any reason why we couldn't have played finding Tom's character? And then when we get that vision, play as the children.
No. But, like I said, also, part of the reason for the vision was to set a tone as well, so it's more effective at the very beginning. But there's not a reason that we couldn't have, so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it could have been, like, just, you could have just told us?
I wanted it to be more interactive, though, especially because it was going to be so long.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't want to bore you.
Well, if you told us, it wouldn't have been that long, because you would have said you would have described just the kids towards the end, right. You know, doing this joust as opposed to
true.
What we did was like we had to get all the stuff together, like the cloak and the broomstick, and hide from our parents. And
I think that was really funny. You guys did a really good job role playing kids too. That was cool. I thought. Yeah. But also, if I had done it as just telling you guys about it, then it would have been box text, and I could see Wayne, like, bristling at it, had that been the case.
Well, no, I guess this comes up. I'm not exactly a big fan of box text, but...
in the same way that fire doesn't get along with water so
right.
well.
But if you would... If the box text came right at the beginning...
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's kind of like I see it as reading the opening crawl of Star Wars or reading the opening crawl of a movie. that's fine, because then you've kind of set the tone, you've kind of told us what the premise of the story is, what it's about, and then we start the action.
Hmm.
Like, that would have been it for the box text. We wouldn't have interacted with it. It would have just been, listen, so you know what's going on, and now we'll start playing.
Now that you say it like that, I can see, like, actually, in not telling you, but maybe before the campaign started, giving you, like, all a piece of paper and just putting it online.
Even if we had sat down at the beginning and you would have read this little paragraph, that's setting it up. So I wouldn't have had a problem doing that.
Good to know.
Okay. I guess I'm kind of going to repeat myself here, but... Well, I mean, the way I saw it, these children were kind of like nobodies. I mean, they're children. Ooh. And of course,
have some respect for the dead.
And yeah, but I mean, if we had been playing NPCs from the previous campaign, or like people we were familiar with to add like a personal touch, sorry for repeating myself, then I think it would have like drawn me in a lot more than just kind of...
Four random kids.
Yeah, sorry. Or at least children that, like, I don't know, that maybe we'd have run across on our way out of Long Blades Peak or something like that.
Hmm.
Or just kind of
that makes
a bit
sense.
More, like, link it all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tough with the tone. I definitely can see what you're trying to do with that. But yeah, you do have to kind of fight the players going, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I not playing my character? Why am I playing a kid?
I'm actually like really surprised. I'm surprised you guys were didn't like that at the beginning, playing something different for the first couple hours. Yeah.
And just moving on subject of communication, when we're talking about what kind of game to play, you had asked, you had solicited some advice, and I had said a Game of Thrones plus exotic locales. And I think for me to do that was a mistake, because I had referenced a TV series or a book, whichever way you want to look at it, and expected you to get the same things out of what I said than I had intended. Mm-hmm. And that was a mistake, and I would recommend when... Sometimes an elevator pitch is great, and sometimes an elevator pitch, if it's not terribly clear, and there's a lot of different elements that you could draw from it, it can just backfire, because people are like, oh, okay, I'll draw these elements from A Game of Thrones, and...
I think that's
probably why there's a lot of prostitutes in your game. Yeah.
Named prostitutes with more lines than the regular NPCs.
Only during the exposition. Come on.
Yeah, they're a little bit chatty when we're...
I think that's what happened, because, yeah, I saw, okay, we're playing more like a Game of Thrones, and therefore that tells me that a non-combat character is viable. Because, to me, Game of Thrones means intrigue is just as, if not more dangerous than physical combat.
Hmm.
And so I didn't see a problem with building a character who had practically no combat skills.
Yeah.
And then you kind of go into the first session and you're like, my assumption was pretty much completely wrong, and we weren't seeing eye to eye on this.
Yeah.
Or just, as you said, Lila, you know, different people got different things out of it. So, yeah, sitting down and saying, no, this is what the story is about, this is the tone, this is kind of what I'm expecting.
I should have seen that too, because I saw your plan for the character, and like I noticed, I said, you know, you need to put something in fighting, or try out some more of these combat-y kind of spells for the magic thing.
I almost kind of went into it with the intention of, okay, I'm not going to build a combat character.
Yeah.
I'm purposely going to see if I can make a character who has no combat skills. And I guess it gets back to the kind of yes-no GM thing, where I almost wish you had said, no, we're playing an adventure game. You need to build an adventurer.
And I think that could have come up if we all sat down designing our party as a group. Mm-hmm. Is the first thing that should happen is the game master sets, you know, gives like, tells us what the story is.
Mm-hmm.
Not like all the details of the narrative, but like, okay, we're going to do, I want to do high adventure, but a little bit darker than what we played before, and we're going to be traveling the world.
Yep.
So people are like, oh, okay, so...
Build mobile adventurers.
Yeah, so would a pirate be okay, you know, since we're traveling the seas? You know, would that be useful, not useful? I always think back to this game, it was a Star Wars game, West End.
Right, the D6 one.
Yeah, that's great.
Is this guy played a Wookiee?
Oh, that was that Star Wars game. And that was us being jerks. The Wookiee one, which is not what I was going to talk about, but basically a player who we didn't particularly care for played a Wookiee. So immature. This was like in high school. We were like, I don't understand you. I don't understand you. No, I'm not going to make a roll. I don't understand Wookiee. No, this was the X-Wing fighter guy, and he picked the X-Wing pilot. And the Game Master actually gave him a heads up and said, you're not going to be able to use it. You're not going to be able to use it. So when he said, oh, I really want to play a pilot, and then was shocked that we didn't have the X-Wing fighter, That was his fault.
Mm.
Yeah. Because he had been told no. So if you had insisted, Wayne, on playing this non-combat person after you were told that it was going to be a dark high adventure game,
right,
then the fault would have been yours. Yeah.
I still probably wouldn't try it.
Yeah. Oh, but again, other things could have come up and you're like, I don't want to adventure. Then, you know, Yujiro and I or Tom could have said, what do you expect us to do then? You know, if you don't want adventure, I mean, we're going to go on this adventure. Right. It doesn't sound like it's going to be set at your university.
Do you think bottom line communication?
Yeah, we should talk. But we were communicating. We were communicating over like Facebook and things like that. So you might not ask
right
questions because you can't be bothered to type them, I guess.
Yeah.
And then all the individual character stuff was separate, so we couldn't see what other people were necessarily planning and how that's going to fit into the game.
Yeah.
So, group design, I think, is the way to go.
Yeah. Give it a try, because we didn't. All right, well, thank you for joining us again on Idle Red Hands. Check us out online, www.idledredhands.com, idleredhands.com. Listen to us on the website through Stitcher or through DriveThruRPG. Post on the website or in the forums or on Facebook or anywhere that we can hear from you, because we love to hear from all of you. Yeah. And, yeah, thanks for joining us. See you next time.
Tell us how awesome Savage World is.
Roar!
Bye.
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.